This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A little toxic purge for your Monday.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. The Treasury Department is set to unveil more details this morning about its latest attempt to get the financial system working again. The public-private partnership is the long-awaited program to get bad assets off bank balance sheets. The hope is with enough government money backstopping losses, private investors will feel it's safe enough to get back in the game. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson has more this morning from New York.
Wall Street is looking for clarity. Potential investors are looking for a guarantee that they won't lose too much money investing in toxic mortgage-backed securities. And Congress is trying to avoid having the government foot the entire bill. Mark Zandi, chief economist at Moody'sEconomy.com, says this plan just might do the trick.
Now, $1 trillion won't get the job completely done. There's probably twice as many bad assets on banks' balance sheets, but if this first $1 trillion works reasonably well, I think they'll probably go back to Congress, get more money, and try to get the other $1 trillion off bank balance sheets.
The plan involves financing from the Fed, the Treasury, and the FDIC. Investors who want to buy toxic assets will be leveraged 6-to-1 at best and 1-to-1 at worst. The White House is also trying to assure investors they won't be subject to AIG-style retroactive regulation from Congress. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Investors in Asia had confidence today in Mr. Geithner's plan. Asian stocks closed strong. European shares are all moving higher right now. The big question is how Wall Street will react. When an outline of this program first came out last month, markets took a nosedive. On Friday, the Dow fell 122 points, or 1 2/3%, to 72.78. Just in case you missed this one over the weekend, WAMU is suing federal regulators. Washington Mutual says the fire sale of the bank to J.P. Morgan Chase violated its rights. Lawyers say WAMU was worth way more than the $2 billion J.P. got it for. The deal was arranged by the FDIC. If you've picked up a copy of your favorite magazine lately, you may have noticed fewer pages. Even though readership is up, ad sales are down. Amanda Aronchik looks at new ideas publishers are flipping through right now.
Think e-ink and more spice. That's what people will be talking about at today's Publishing Business Conference and Expo in New York. Noelle Skadinsky is the organizer. She says that there is some panic in her industry, but maybe it's productive. It's making publishers ask themselves essential questions.
We have to figure out if what we're doing is the best way to do this. How can we bring in more revenue? It's really forced a lot of innovation out of the industry.
Publishers are looking at products like Harlequin's Spice Briefs, erotic short stories for your cell phone or iPod. Both Harlequin and Esquire are winning innovation awards tonight. Esquire for using e-ink, or electronic ink, on the magazine's October issue.
The headline was just flashing on the cover, and it said the 21st century is now.
While Skadinsky says publishing isn't dead, it might just need to think off the page. In New York, I'm Amanda Aronchik for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com/new offers. And by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 423 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce emissions. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
A news conference about the plan to buy up toxic assets is set to start in just a couple hours. Today's announcement comes on the heels of a major move last week by the Federal Reserve. The Fed's buying up treasuries and mortgage-backed securities, a.k.a. creating money. A lot of people are still trying to figure out whether this decision to pour another $1 trillion into the economy will work.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan is still scratching his head. Alan, what do you think when the Fed said it was doing this?
Well, much of what I thought was unprintable and not to be repeated on family radio,
yikes.
But the major thing would have been, yeah.
Okay, let's couch that a bit. This was an action in large part to bring down mortgage rates. And we saw that happen almost immediately, the very next day. So isn't it working?
Well, it's working to bring down mortgage rates. What it's doing, though, is it has, I guess you would call it collateral damage. It gets people like me thinking the Fed may have lost its mind. More important, it gets people who have actual money, unlike, say, me, who are bidding up, at least the last we looked, bidding up the price of gold, bidding up the price of foreign currencies, bidding down the price of the dollar.
Well, the Fed Chair Ben Bernanke did try to ease some of the inflationary concerns. Do you think he did a good enough job at that?
Who knows? They've been very, very imaginative. And who knows what else they may create? I don't know, because if I knew, I'd probably be going out trying to make enough money off of what I think they're going to do to offset the losses I have on the basis of what they've already done.
I hear you. Well, I mean, given all of that imagination, was this type of an aggressive move necessary?
I don't know if it's necessary or not. I have no way of knowing. It just makes me uneasy. And the way they explained it did not really resonate with me. But I'll say this for the millionth time. I'm not the audience that matters. The audience that matters are the people with big amounts of money that they trade. Anytime the Fed has done anything to improve liquidity or anything like that in the markets are always applauding and jumping up and down because it makes money for them. The fact that maybe 5 or 10 years later, it'll turn out that that was a mistake, they don't go back and say that. I mean, they loved Greenspan easing when he eased the rates after the technology bubble burst. They were jumping up and down. Go read the coverage. Now it's, well, he set off the housing bubble. But they didn't say that then. They say that now after the fact.
Well, either way, it is more wait and see, I guess. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
You can weigh in on that and other stories you hear here at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Have a nice Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.